We are concluding our message on rediscovering the glory, and we're in the book of Colossians today. Praise the Lord. And we'll just go back to verse 1, and we'll read up to the scripture that we just left off on in our last session. But we're looking at the subject matter, rediscovering the glory. Amen. We desire, I believe it's God's heart's desire, that we as a people walk in the manifested glory of God. Amen. Now, the glory of God is not something that's necessarily seen by mankind. Because if the glory had been seen by mankind in a general sense, in a physical form, then there would have been more question about Jesus himself. But Jesus walked about manifesting the glory just as we walk about every day. Amen? In a very ordinary way, Jesus lived his life. Amen? Amen. Yet, he was able to release the manifestation of the Spirit through his life because he was totally and completely yielded up to God. Now, this is where we need to be. We need to be in the place where someone could just touch your coattail. Yeah. Amen. Someone could just brush by you. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. You know, we put the things of God in such a holy, sanctified place that it seems like it's unattainable. That's what we do to ourselves. We purposely, in our own hearts and minds, because we feel like we're not worthy to walk in the place where Jesus walked and do the kind of things that Jesus did. Or if we do believe that we can do them, then we want to do them in a very limited fashion. We want to tell God where we are to function.
Amen.
Amen. You know it's good when the first lady starts pointing the finger at you and saying, amen. But we want to tell the Lord, this is my ministry and this is what I'll do for you.
That's right.
Amen. Would you rather I step back a little bit and maybe just give an introduction before I get to the meat of the matter? No. No, we're ready to dive in, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you like to swim, you don't mess around by twinkling your toes in the water. You just go take a dive, don't you? Amen. If you can really swim, you just go out and jump in the water. Someone says, well, it's cold in there. No matter. I'm going for a swim. Amen. You just dive in and go for it. Praise the Lord. Well, we should be that willing to get into the things of God. But we want to say to the Lord, this is who I am and this is what I can do for you. And we limit ourselves by thinking about our, watch this now, capabilities. We think about our capabilities. You have a capacity that is given to you by God, and it is our responsibility to fulfill it. Now, honestly, you really don't know what your full potential is. No, you don't. And the journey that the Lord will put you on to find your full potential is not a comfortable one. And it's not a convenient one. Are you with me now? Amen. You have to realize that if Jesus was tempted in all fashions such as we are, yet without sin, then that means that Jesus experienced fully what we experienced in the human, you know, phenomenon, this whole area of human living, and he experienced all of that. So Jesus knew what it felt like not to want to get up and go to synagogue on the Sabbath.
Amen.
I think I'd like to sleep in this morning. He knew exactly what that was like. So you've got to bring him down to the level of your experience. Some would say that would be not so So holy, to bring Jesus down to my experience, I need to ascend to his experience. Well, in order for you to ascend to his experience, he had to come down to your experience. He had to walk where you're walking. He had to have the same thoughts that you're having. He had to have the same sense and feeling that you have. He had to be confronted with the same confusion that we're confronted with. He was all human. And he was testing in every area of his humanity, just as you and I. And he overcame. Now, he overcame that for us and gave it to us as a gift. Because he knew that you would go through the same experiences, right? He knew what you would face, and he knew that you would have the thought that this is as far as I can go. And this is as much as that I'm capable to give. He went to all those places, won the victory for you. And now in the Gospels, you see that it's presented to you that I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Right? And it's no longer you that work, but it's I that work within you, fulfilling the very will and purpose of God. See, when you got saved was when you got the will to do all of the counsel of God. That's when you got it. Right? You see, the Christian that argues today that, but Pastor, I've got a will. Yes, you have, and you gave it to the Lord when you got saved. Right? So you're already willing to do God's will. It's the enmity within you that says, yeah, but I got something to say about it. That's what's happening. That old flesh man is saying, yeah, but I got something to say about it. No, you don't. No, you don't. I don't care how you phrase it, how much education you use. You don't have a say in this. Are you with me now? Amen. See, Jesus overcame for us and then turned around and gave it back to us as a gift. Everything that he won, he gave back to us. Hallelujah. See, just as graphically as you can see that Jesus was the host for all of our sin, all of our disobedience, all of our wrongdoing, he became sin. And then God allowed him to take the penalty of that sin on the cross for us. All of the sin that you will, let's just put it in present tense. All of the sin that you ever will sin has already been placed on Jesus. It's already there. See? And God has already judged it. Right? The penalty has been paid for. Sins that you haven't even committed yet. Right? It's already been taken care of. Now, you can see that and rejoice in that, and it just sounds too good to be true, but it is. But now when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says he rose up born again. God didn't raise him up in the same sin that he took on and put on him as he went down into the grave and when he was on the cross. God raised him up as the new man. Amen. Born again. He was the first human being born again. Jesus was. First born from the dead. See, some have mistaken that to think he was the first man raised from the dead, but that's not true. He raised people from the dead before he died. Amen? Amen. Come on. No. I mean, who was it? Was thrown into the grave of Elijah? Right? And his bones revived. The man came alive. Elisha came alive. I mean, the man got killed out there, and they didn't have time to bury him because they was in hot pursuit of the enemy. So they tossed him into the area where Elisha was buried. He rubbed up against Elisha's grave and came back to life. My Lord. Now, this is what I'm talking about now. See, we're rediscovering the glory. As born-again Christians, we're rediscovering the glory because something is supposed to happen in people when they brush up against you. Now, you got to walk in that consciousness. You got to think that way. You have to think on that. You have to go to scriptures to talk about it. See? And you have to begin to say that. Now, I realize that, you know, that type of confession wouldn't be appreciated around religious people. Right? But nevertheless, it didn't stop Jesus from talking about stuff. Jesus went ahead and said what he had to say. It caused people to be very angry. You know, they wanted to kill him for it. That's a part of your uncomfortable journey. I just came in here to get me an omelet, and just look at all this hatred. Amen. You in the buffet line. Somebody looking at you like, what are you doing up in here? I come to get something to eat. What about you? Amen. Right? Jesus was hungry. He got something to eat. Amen. So in a very ordinary way, you've got to go out and display. God wants to manifest his glory in the simplest and ordinary places of life. And that's why we've got to give him our all in all. We have to accept his bidding to get on this path that takes us to the place where we're conformed to the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's a wonderful place, but it's very costly. It's very costly. Very costly. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So now if you're going to seek that in the place where Christ is, amen? You can appreciate the message of the cross, but you got to move on from that place to the place where Christ is now. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, so many of us get stuck in a place that has to do with something that we used to revel in. I appreciate the Welch Revival. I appreciate the ministry of John G. Lake. I appreciate Brother Smiggle's worth, you know, but I'm not him. Amen. And I'm in the 21st century. And the needs today are greater than they were even when these men were alive. So now I've got to take on something that they took on, but get some more. Amen. I got to get some more. So I'm going to read about them. I'm going to listen to sermons about them. Amen. I'm going to get into all of that. And that's just going to encourage me to take further steps. Because he giveth more grace. Glory to God. Amen. He doesn't want you to just revel in the past and say, Lord, give me that old time religion. Amen. Come on. He's not saying that he wants you to go back to anything. We've got to seek the place where Jesus is. He's seated in power. He's seated in the seat of God. And he created us in his image and after his likeness. And he wants us to share in his Godhood. Amen. Get that? That's what he wants you and I to share in, is his Godhood. Every one of us, regardless of our color, are from the hood. God's hood. Are you with me now? See, and if I will seek and aim at, you know, sharing in his resurrection, seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is. See, if you can envision him at the right hand of the Father, you see him in power and authority and majesty and glory and victory. That's the way you see him. You are not supposed to see yourself any less. You're not supposed to see yourself any less. This world is designed to make you think that you are just like everybody else and subject to everything that everybody else went through. Well, Pastor, you can go to the writings of Solomon and he'll tell you that some of these things are vanity. Well, that's because he didn't have the revelation of the born-again experience. God was showing you something in giving Solomon all that wisdom that he gave him. And he said no other man would surpass the wisdom that he gave him. But that was under the old covenant. And no other man surpassed him with the wisdom that he received under the old covenant. And that's why when he got to the end of a thing, he says, but this is all vainglory. See, he had a mind that was brilliant enough to go into a thought and get to the end of it. But we have the mind of Christ. You cannot get to the end of it. Hallelujah. See, we've got something greater than what Solomon had. Hallelujah. And so we're supposed to see ourselves seated with him. He said we are seated with him in heavenly places. If you're seated with him, why are you fumbling around with this old mess on earth? Why you get upset? Why you don't have no patience? Come on, why you gotta fuss out the waiter because your steak isn't cooked just right? Like that's the last one you're gonna eat. She's working hard. She's not the chef. She's just delivering what they serve up. Bless that woman. Bless that man. Understand their plight. Eat that tough steak and be thankful. Hallelujah. Somebody's going through something. And you got the glory. Hallelujah. I mean, when you're operating in the glory like you should, you can lay hands on your steak too. Praise God. Amen. So he said, set your minds and keep them set on what is above. Now, the work is there. Keeping your mind set on. That's where the work is. Amen. Because we got other stuff to do. Right? Got jobs, responsibilities, family, personal need. Don't nobody know what you're going through? Amen. But the Lord still has demands on your life, even if you have issues. His calling has not changed just because you're going through something to do with your body. Amen. Nobody ever considers what poor Jonah was going through. All they know is he didn't want to obey God and go to Nineveh. That's all they think about. But they don't have a clue about what the man was going through. How old was he? Huh? How was things at home with his wife? Did he have any kids? See, God's call and his election comes regardless of your station in life. And the reason it does is because some of the stuff that we're involved in, we created. But he had a word for us before the foundation of the earth that said, go to Nineveh. And that word caught up with you along with your issues. Amen. And the drama that surrounds all that stuff, the word caught up with it. But something is more powerful than my issues and my drama. That's the will of God. Yes, it is. It's the will of God. Amen. So God says, even though you're sick, go. Amen. Who is the man that walked around the world with the cross? Arthur Blessed. How many of you got his testimony on DVD? You ought to get it. Great testimony. God spoke to the man and told him to take his cross and walk across the United States, and he kept commissioning him until he went all the way around the world with it, right? Went in enemy territory, you know? He ministered to some of the Arabs that were very notable people that were chief terrorists, like Arafat, you know? Arafat wanted him to pray for him. Yeah. Arafat's doctors were Christians. He didn't trust his own people. Now when Arthur Blessed was being called to take his cross and walk around the world and give testimony to Jesus, he had a condition in his body that was life-threatening. Was it an aneurysm? at an aneurysm that was life-threatening. His doctor told him that if you do what you're thinking of doing, you're going to die. He laid there in the bed and dealt with that for several days. And he just finally decided, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die doing what God told me to do. And he got up and started walking and has never had an aneurysm. And that has been 30-something years ago, 40-something years ago. And he walked all across the whole world with a diagnosis from the doctor that said you're going to die, but a commission from God that said go into all the world. Amen. What's stronger? What's stronger? I think the commission is stronger than what you're facing. What I'm telling you is that what God has ordained for you to do is stronger and it's better and it is prevailing and will prevail over everything that you're using as an excuse. God's will is greater. If you don't want to die, do God's will. If you don't want to stay sick, do God's will. We wonder in the body of Christ why some people get it and some people don't. One person sitting there can get a healing and one beside them won't. Same power coming down on both of them. There's something about submitting to the will of God that will open doors for you. Bring answers. Amen. James says you have not because you ask with an alternative purpose. My translation. Right? You got two minds operating. I gave you the mind of Christ, but you're trying to use yours. Are you with me now? And you can't get your prayers answered by thinking both ways at the same time. You got to be single-minded. Right? If God says something, that's it. Praise God, that's it. Just accept it. Go for it. All right, even if it looks like it's going to kill you, just go ahead. It'll be a glorious death. You'll enjoy it. No need to be in fear. Amen. You've heard the old song, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I mean, that part of the song I like. I wouldn't take anything for the journey that I've been on. Because it's done something in me that's made me a better person and brought me to a place in God that I probably wouldn't ever be if I hadn't have accepted what he gave me. You know, you would think when God speaks to you and tells you to do something, everything's going to be great. Glory to God. Woo! Wonderful, Jesus. Do what he says. Your life is blessed. You're prosperous. You're whole. My, my, my. I hadn't had nothing but hell since I obeyed the Lord. I mean, good friends decided they didn't want to be my friends anymore. Right? Nobody wanted to accept that what God had gave me to do was the will of God. And told other people. And has distracted other people from walking on this journey with me. But you see, that's suffering with the sufferings of Christ. And see, God is so jealous, has such a jealous love for you that he's not, you know, up there going like, oh, man, I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. You know, I thought about it after I called you, you know, and if I had just phrased it differently, you wouldn't have went through all of that. So, you know, I'm really sorry. I'll make it up to you when you get here. No, he doesn't talk like that. No, God actually rejoices in your suffering. I mean, poor Stephen. He never saw that vision until he's about dead. He said, I see the heavens open and the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. My God. God, he was beat up with rocks when he saw it. You'd like to have that testimony, but don't beat me up. Amen. Hold your stones, brother. We want all the revelation. We want the deep stuff in God. And Paul wrote most of the scriptures that we're reading while he's in jail. Flogged. Cold. In irons of chain. Not eating anything. Rats for company in the jail cell. And he's writing about the glory of God. See, you got to realize that, yes, it will cost you something. The very thing that you're fearful of, Job said, the thing I feared has come upon me. That's a good word, because exactly what you're going to go through that. Yes, you are. And I know I seem cruel to be laughing about it. Well, see, I've gone through some of it. Amen. Want some company?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm not in a bad way. Praise God. But set your minds and keep them set on what is above, higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. Now, see, that's a statement that's been said about everyone that's born again, even though you're dying daily. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. We die daily. See, every time I receive revelation from God, there's death occurs in the soul, in the will of my soul, my mind, my emotions, in the natural part. The revelation and the light of God causes something to die in me. I die to something. And that's a good thing. But with that death, the thing that's kind of hard is that we've got corresponding action that we need to operate in after we get the revelation. Amen. There need to be corresponding action on what we've heard. Because James says if you hear it and you're not a doer of it, then unfortunately the very revelation that you just received is going to cause you to deceive yourself. Amen. See, if I don't act on what I know, you know, that is truth, and I got to come up with an excuse because I didn't act on it. Amen. And that excuse is going to bring me into deception.
That's right.
Do you see that? Yes. The gospel is dangerous.
It is.
Yeah, you can get yourself in a very bad place by sitting under the word and not responding to it. See, God's not doing it. We're doing it. Right? It's self-deception. As far as this world is concerned, you have died. And your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. So you're applying yourself to things that are not seen with the natural eye. You're operating now in the unseen. Amen? And see, the more I give myself to this, and God will confirm his word to you. If you're obedient to it, and you begin to give yourself to just at least, and God gives you really, he does, he gives you baby steps. God doesn't expect you to just leap off into some things. There's very few people, you know, that actually have leapt into some things and just ran with it. Paul was one of them, because he was totally at the opposite. He's putting people like you and I in jail, flogging us, and some of us being thrown to the lions, right, because of his actions. And when he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, you know, and he gets the revelation that he's persecuting the Lord Jesus himself, and that Jesus is the Messiah that he knew a lot about, that was supposed to come, that he had been rejected and preaching against. He repented. Amen. And there was 3 days without sight, right? And then this man prays for him. He gets his sight. God's been speaking to him for 3 days and 3 nights. Without sight for 3 days and 3 nights. Man, I would like to see his prayer journal to see what he was seeing for 3 days and 3 nights without natural eyesight. Right? And here he is getting all this revelation over this period of time. Right? He didn't want to eat. He probably wasn't counting the days. But he was then thrust after receiving his sight. He got baptized. Right? Excuse me, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you when, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he is so strong in this thing. He had to leave the disciples. Man, they walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and he been saved for 3 days. He goes somewhere for a few years. He comes back. He's with the disciples. He can't stay with them. He's got to go out and do the work of God. This is a man that was thrust into it. Right? But he was chosen. He was preordained. God even had his hand on him while he's been raised up as a Pharisee. Because he had to have the depth and the wealth of that knowledge and understand the Torah to that degree in order to get the revelation of the new covenant on the other side. Right? And what I love about it, and I will kiss him, shake his hand, hug his neck, praise the Lord, go on a picnic with him when I get to heaven. Praise God. Thank him for being our apostle. Because if it wasn't for him, you know, Peter and them would have left us out of the church. I'm serious. He had to have a face-to-face encounter, you know, with Cornelius and the Holy Ghost coming into the room in order to convince him. Right? But Paul was chosen for us. He was chosen. And when you read this stuff, this will take you to the place of the glory if you'll pay attention to it. His word is anointed all by itself. All I got to do is accept it. See, all my fasting and all my praying and all this stuff is not going to do it. It's going to be my accepting what God says and standing on it by faith. And then after I do that, if God wants me to fast and pray, then I'll do it for the right reason. But you're not going to force yourself to do anything. You just surrender. And say, okay, God, you see what you got? Amen. Come on now, you're looking at me. This is me I'm talking. You see what you got. Let me see some anointing on that word. Let me see what you got. Let me see what you can do. And the word will prove to you that where God wants to take you, he will take you. All right. But you got to accept that you're dead in Christ. Amen. That you died. Your old man literally died when Jesus died. But you were raised to newness in life. Right? Now look at verse 4. When Christ, watch this now, who is our life. Christ is our life. See? Right. He is our life. When he appears, then you also will appear with him in, watch this, in the splendor of his glory. If I'm going to appear with him in the splendor of his glory, shouldn't I be seeking that glory now? Shouldn't I? That's the way I'm going to appear with him. Right? Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of like wattage. It's kind of like wattage. You know, you got different wattages. And you get up to a real high wattage and you can't hardly look at the brilliance of the light. But you get something that's lower. You can look at it, handle it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So believers have got glory, but we're not all walking in it. So we got some 20 watt, 30 watt, amen, 10 watt, amen. You got a little bit of light, but your light is so dim. It's resembling some of the other stuff in the world, man-made stuff. But see, when you accept what God has for your light is going to be like Jesus' light. You're going to appear as he. He said, in this life, in this world, you are to appear as he did when he was here. He said, you'll do the works that I've done, and even greater works than these shall you do. Right? All right. They touched the hem of Jesus' garment. The lady touched his hem. Right? She got healed. Did Jesus have to do anything? Jesus going about his business on another mission to do something else that God has shown him is his will for him to do. And on the way, somebody touches the hem of his garment. Virtue went out of him and the woman's healed. He didn't have anything to do with it. He didn't even know who it went to. Who touched me? Didn't know if it was a woman, a child, or a man. But because he's operating in the glory, all you got to do is touch him and you'll get what you need. Now, we've got to get there, but we got to go beyond there. Why? Because they took pieces of cloth off of Paul's body. Same cloth they touched on Jesus. Made out of the same stuff. They cut pieces off of him and sent it to people in another place. They're healed. Glory to God. I'm on now. Even better than that, Peter just walks down the street and his shadow touches somebody, and up from the thing they arise. So what are we going to do today? Tweet somebody. Text somebody. Instagram somebody. Facebook somebody. Send the glory. And if they invent something else, take over that too. Hallelujah. I'm serious, man. The glory will attach itself to whatever you believe. Whatever you believe. I can't tell you how many prayer cloths I've sent out over the last 26 and something years, just selling clothes to people. People will come into the business where I have worked all of those years, and they would have deep needs. And I realized I couldn't say anything to them. So I'd fold the shirt up and just, they don't know what I'm doing. I bring it up to my chest and hold it to my chest while I get the bag. And then put it in there. So that God go with them. Absolutely. I sent them a prayer cloth. They didn't know it. Amen. Now the devil probably said, I wouldn't wear that. I wouldn't wear that if I was you. You got the wrong color. That don't fit. That don't look good on you. And you sitting there thinking, I tried that thing on 3 times. That thing does fit. So you know. But there's more than one way for you to reach people. Amen. I can't tell you how many times I have put my anointing on different items that have been in my hands to go with people because I could see they were in deep trouble. That's doing the greater work. Jesus didn't do that. See? But I got to have more revelation of this glory. So what does he tell us to do in verse 5? Tells you to kill something. Oh, my God. Deading, deprive of power, the evil desire lurking in your members. Why does he say the evil desire, not just the thing itself? Because the desire is the place of creativity on the inside of us. See, so we got to deal with the desire. Most of the time, we don't seek prayer or even repent until after we've committed the thing. But it was the desire that led you up to the committing the act. See? So we just have to deal with, you have to take the word of God and say, I command you to die. Take the word of God, the sword of the spirit, and stick it in the desire. Just puncture the desire with the word of God. Amen? Now, because you don't want to do that, you got to take the word of God and push it in your don't want to first. Because you got to think about it. I got to pray about it. You have to take the word of God and deal with that first. Right? And the way you do that is by realizing who you are. You're Christ-like. You're a God child. You're from God's hood. So we have to do that, and now, you know, that's just a part of the process, you know, of walking in the glory as God has ordained. That's all that is. You don't have to be condemned. I don't have to know anything. You don't have to know anything about me. Paul said he was the chief of all sinners. Now, he's saying that after he's born again. I would have thought he was talking about his past by putting all them Christians in jail and Messianic Jews in jail and stuff like that. But he's talking about right now. So you have to realize Paul is being subject to all types of temptations and trials and tests as he's believing and obeying the commission that God has given him. It hadn't stopped for him. Just because he's writing all these glorious things doesn't mean he stopped being human. You're not going to stop being human because you say yes. But we have allowed our being human to talk us out of the commission, talk us out of going. Well, I'm just not worthy, and I got to get these issues right in my life. And as soon as you decide to do right, here comes something down the road that is bigger and more illustrious and more tempting than it ever was before. The devil just shines on stuff and makes it bigger with every decision that you make because he's listening. Right? When you go to prayer, Lord, I'm going to do your will. I pray. Help me, Jesus. You know it's hard. But I'm going to do it, Jesus. I'm going to do it, Jesus. I'm going to do it, Jesus. And the devil standing over there said, demon 1, 7, and 13. And here they come, boy. Here they come. Oh, my God. Just as big and fat and ugly as that stuff that they sell. You know, what's that medicine they sell on television to get rid of the mucus and the stuff? You know, or how about the ones, you know, the debt suckers, the little vampire looking things, you know? Here they come. Here they come, man. I'm walking out on Monday. I'm doing God's will, man. Shoot. I'm doing God's will. Praise God. Somebody taps you on the shoulder. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Not now, Lord. No. You forget about all the resolve you had. See what I'm saying? I mean, the devil brings Panavision and everything else, and he knows how to present it to get to the deepest core of your life. Yeah? But just say it. I've made a commitment. I've made the commitment. I'm going to walk with you, Lord. This hurts, and I'm scared. Yeah, but I'm going with you. And I really believe this because it's happened in my own life. If you just say, Lord, help me with it, now show me what I need to do, he'll show you one simple little thing to do. And if you just obey him in that simple little thing, you don't realize how much power comes to aid you. You just obey him in that one simple little step, and he equips you with so much power, and you'll sense it. You'll sense it. You'll sense it. Man, something came into me to help me. Something came into me to help me. It can come in planting a seed. Oh, I wish I could share this, but this is a private thing between my wife and I. But the Lord led us to sow a seed. Remember that? Into a ministry. Oh, yeah. We have. Praise the Lord. We got so much seed out there, you can't tell the seed from the dirt. You go out there to plow it. Where's the dirt? It's all seed. Oh, Lord. But anyway, I won't get into all that. That's good enough. Praise the Lord. I'll move on because I'll have to tell you every bit of the truth if I get into it. And I haven't got approval from that from the wife yet, so I better wait. So let's move on down here onto verse 6. It says, it is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is coming upon sons of disobedience. So if you want to get God angry at you, then you have to be disobedient. Because he said these are sons. Right? These are sons. So the only way God can possibly get angry at you is if you're just completely disobedient. And since this Colossians is on such a high level of revelation, he's talking to folk that have heard the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. This is not a baby Christian. Oh, yeah, because God continues to change diapers. Amen. And feed, pamper, burp. You understand? With a baby Christian, God will go out of his way, man. But now when you begin to receive the gospel of the kingdom, you're going to have to start doing something with it. I'll say, all right. He says here that they're opposed to the divine will. Now, you know, there's believers that will tell you, I'm not opposed to God's will. But if you're not walking in obedience to what you've heard, then you're walking in opposition. That's opposition. Yes, right? Okay, we don't need to play with words. Just tell it like it is, right? Amen. All right. All right. He says here, among whom you also once walked when you were living in and addicted to such practice. But now you put away, rid yourselves completely of all these things, anger, rage, feelings, bad feelings toward others, curses, slander, foul mouth abuse, shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another. For you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices. And you've clothed yourself with the new spiritual self. Now that's what we're dealing with in the message of the kingdom. We're talking about what you've been clothed with now as a believer. What are we walking around in now? as a believer. Pay attention to what you're walking around in, because it's supposed to be new clothing. It's supposed to be spiritual clothing, right? And you can tell if you're walking around in the right thing or not, right? You've clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in process of being renewed. Man, what kind of clothing is that? That's a suit that don't have to be dry cleaned. I don't have to replace it. It's like the power and the anointing that was on the Israelites when they were out there in the desert. Their clothes didn't wax old, their sandals didn't wear out, and they're in desert now. See, that was the kind of anointing. It's amazing to me how much disobedience and rebellion was in those folk out there in the wilderness. And they're walking around, and they got to notice that their sandals are not wearing out. They're out there on that rough ground, rocks, sand. They got to realize their clothing is like new. Isn't that amazing? We can have so much glory around us and still, you know, abstain from it, not recognize it, not give way to it, yield up to the glory, just bask in the glory, just soak in the glory. How many of you like to soak? Right? I heard one man said that his soaking wasn't really soaking. It was more like snorking. Because when he gets into soaking, he goes to sleep and he starts snoring. So it's more like snorking, praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Well, that's just a good way of saying, listen, it's not by your power and your might, but it's by the power and might that God gives. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, clothe yourself with that new spiritual self. It's ever in process of being renewed and remolded, fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge, after the image and likeness of Him who created it. Everything about you, even what you're wearing, looks like Jesus. Praise God. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There's no room for, there can be neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised. So He's dealing with everybody, every race, creed, color, religious person, right? So He says in verse 12, clothe yourselves therefore, God's own chosen ones, His own picked representatives. You are purified. Tell your neighbor, you are purified. You're holy. You're well beloved by God Himself, putting on behavior that's marked by tenderhearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways. That means you just have to be open to one another. Because if you got a high opinion of yourself, then you're going to think you're always right. You know, and you're going to have a condescending attitude toward other folk. But God can use babes to give you great revelation. So you got to be open-minded, right? You just can't have an attitude about yourself, right? So He says, you know, that we're to be tender-hearted, have tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, lowly opinion of ourselves, gentle ways, and practice, which is tireless and long, patience rather, which is tireless and long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. You know, it actually sounds like to me, with God giving us such a charge like this, He's not in a hurry to send Jesus back for what we like to call the rapture. He's not in a hurry to do that. What God really is anxious about is about you and I rediscovering the glory and walking in the power of God and doing what Jesus did. That's what He's excited about. I mean, why do we think that Jesus is coming back is going to solve everything when we haven't completed our mission? Amen. And if I haven't completed my mission and I stand before Him, then He's going to pause. God don't need to be pausing when He look at me. He need to say, well done, quick, real quick, because somebody else stand behind me. I need to move on. Amen. If we're going to have a long discussion, something like gnashing of teeth might be over there. I don't want to hear that, right? Really, in that moment, I don't want God to talk to me with long sentences and long paragraphs. Just well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the same joy and pleasure that I have. That's all I need to hear. We got all of eternity to get. I get back to you. I hit you back. Amen. Right? There's other people standing here. Let's keep the line moving. Amen. Something wrong when you got to stand there in the line and you're going through all of this stuff. Right? Praise the Lord. I want to get over there to the Last Supper. Pass the potatoes, please. Yeah, but these meat potatoes got to be good, boy. Whoo, I can't wait. All right. He said here, be gentle, long. So if he's giving us all of this stuff that requires such patience and long suffering, then that means he's got a work that needs to be done in us, a work that needs to be accomplished in us, that we've got to go through. It's like a rite of passage to the glory. You got to go through it if you're going to walk in the glory. You can't hurry up and do this. See? So I believe God is at peace, and he's satisfied because he sees that there are some that's getting the message. So I'm going to work on the remnant and turn the world upside down if I can do it with 12. Look what I can do now. You know, if I can just get them all in unity, loving each other like this, I'm going to bring them together. I'm going to handpick them, bring them together, and make them one. And they'll begin to flow in it, and I'll get to see what I want. Don't you want God to get what he desires?
Yes.
Come on, folks. It's not about everything that we can get. What about what God wants? I mean, that's the reason we're here. We were created for his purpose, his desire. He's seeking something. And if he doesn't get it from you, then he's not going to be satisfied. Catherine Kuhlman said, the only reason why I'm up here in ministry right now is because some man didn't obey God's call on their life. That's why she said, I'm doing what I'm doing. She said that. Yeah. Ain't nobody doing what I'm called to do. I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to get my job. You're not getting my job, and you ain't getting my reward.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You're not going to get my mansion either.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't getting my stuff. Get your own stuff. Hallelujah. Get it. Praise God. It belongs to you. He said in verse 14, above all this, well, I guess I better hit the last part of verse 13 because this is the place that people have so much trouble with. Readily pardoning each other, right? Freely forgiving. You got to forgive. You got to let go. Stop talking about the past. Stop talking about what happened to you at the last church, right? Stop talking about what the deacon board did and what the preacher did and, you know, and all of this stuff about, just forget about that. Put it under the blood. And go on. Right? Because if you don't, you know, it's going to keep you from where you need to go. And above all these, put on love and fold yourselves with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. So we're going to have to walk in love. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, I thought I was going to finish this today. Second session, maybe. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, let it act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling finally all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. So, you know, if you're going to get a question settled in your heart and your mind, you got to be in peace. How many times have we tried to get answers while we were troubled? We kept the troubled spirit, and we're trying to get answers. The answers don't come that way. So, you can't get peace unless you turn it over, roll it over on the Lord. Cast your cares upon him that cares for you, right? Unless you roll it over on the Lord, you don't have peace. So we're walking around mad at that preacher, walking around mad at them deacons, walking around mad at the church, and all that kind of stuff, right? And yet we're thinking at the same time, God is for us. God's on our side. He feels the same way I do. No, he does not. God don't have issues and there's no drama at all. See, he doesn't. He's in a peaceful state. He knows exactly what everything is. And if you pay attention to him, you'll get in peace and you'll know the answer. Right? Because then while you're in peace, you'll be forgiving. Letting go. Putting it in your past. Man, for years after I got messed up in one church, I talked about it to everybody that I met. Tell everybody what I went through and what they did. And they sympathized with me. Wasn't nobody spiritual enough to tell me to shut up and forgive them. So I got to tell you, shut up and forgive them. Let it go. Man, I memorized every little part of it. Every time I told the story, I did it letter upon line upon line. I went down through the whole thing. I had to get over that. See? Well, all right, now let's look at this. This is getting good right here. This is really getting good. Are you finding something in here that can help you? Praise the Lord. The Lord flipped the page back on me right there. I didn't mean to go back there, but since he did it, I guess I better obey. This is what Jesus did for you. So you can do this, right? Chapter 2, verse 14, Colossians 2, 14. Jesus did this. Having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, it was hostile to us. This note, with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to his cross. So you don't have anything in the way except just doing what you know to do, which is presently being presented to you. Just do that. Nothing can keep you from doing that. Right? All right. Praise God. So we let peace, soul harmony, act as umpire. Right? Deciding and settling and getting the questions answered. As we're in the state of peace, we can be thankful and give praise to God. All right? One more verse and we'll close. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness. As you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with this grace in your hearts. You're really going to astonish some people because everybody knows you're old fuddy-duddy and you're always mad. And now all of a sudden you're just full of joy and singing all the time. But you see, that's the way you're going to teach them to do what God's taught you to do. Opposites. Say opposites. All of us experience opposites because what God comes and makes us aware of that he's given us and we begin to operate in it, all of a sudden everybody realizes we're acting like an opposite. And then they have questions of what happened to you? You're different. And you have to be honest because the same issues that you have, you can't be embarrassed to talk about those things. You have to tell them what God did for you. And when you do, they're going to open up and they're going to tell you some stuff that you're going to pray with them and get them free. That's right. People don't need to be honest with somebody that's hiding everything. That's why he said, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. You're not confessing false if it's only coming from one side. Amen. It's got to come from both sides. Amen. I'll share this with you if you're willing to share your deepest hurt with me. And then you've got to pledge that you'll keep this between the two of us. And if I hear about it, amen, and I know I hadn't told anybody but you, I'm going to kill you. Then I'm going to ask God for forgiveness and we're going to raise you from the dead. But I'm going to kill you. Terrible way to end the sermon, isn't it? But that's the kind of honesty that we've got to have. You know, and only God can give you a person that you can be that honest with. Only God can do that. And when that happens, you know it. Praise the Lord. And God's able to usher us into a place where we walk with him and he's able to just flow through our lives. Amen. And accomplish what he wants to accomplish in that person's life, in that relationship or in that community or on the job, wherever it may be. Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Let's just pray for a second. Father, we thank you today for your word. And we ask you today, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit would just be free to just release revelation on this whole concept.